we are going to be reading Jonah chapter 2, so hopefully that's given you a chance to find it within your Bibles. And if you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. The words are also going to be upon the screen. And this is what it says. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. Some of you have just got that joke. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried. Sheol just means the land of the dead or the grave. It's a metaphor here. And you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the hearts of the sea, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. We're going to look at the subject of prayer this evening. Before we do that, we are going to pray. So if you bow your heads, that would be awesome. Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. Lord, we thank you that you do not just speak through your word, but you speak through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask tonight that both the word and the Holy Spirit would be active. Lord, that our hearts would be convicted, that our lives would be changed, that we might bring more glory unto you. Lord, we pray too that you would take our prayer lives and, Lord, that they would exponentially increase and that they would exponentially deepen. For your glory's sake, we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Now, guys, when we talk about the subject of prayer, often people start to feel really, really uncomfortable. And that's because we can often talk about prayer, we can preach about prayer, we can read about prayer, we can have this kind of intellectual assent or intellectual understanding of prayer. But if we are honest, we don't pray anywhere near as much as we should do. Now, we might do, oh, I let the Lord lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul do keep. Okay? We might do that. We might do the Our Father who art in heaven, blessed be thy name. We might even know the grace, but the truth of it is we don't pray anywhere near as much as we are supposed to. And what I want to try and do tonight is give you some kind of ideas or some keys when we look at Jonah chapter 2 as to show you how we might live more of a life of effectual prayer. Now, this is why we need to live a life of effectual prayer. The Bible says, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Where are my Bible readers? By my spirit, says the Lord. Jesus Christ says it this way, without me you can do nothing, which means everything that we actually do, you know, is completely worthless and completely powerless without Christ. Without prayer, youth work becomes babysitting, worship becomes karaoke, and preaching just becomes a motivational talk, but sometimes it's not very motivational, okay? What prayer does, it brings the power of the hereafter into the here and the now, and it actually makes a difference. Not because we believe in prayer so much, because actually Muslims pray and Buddhists pray and Hindus pray. We believe in the God of prayer. Okay, we're not like the prophets of Baal. We're not people who have to cut ourselves and cry out. What we need to do is get to God in faith and let him do his thing. God has decided, he has condescended himself to only do certain things by prayer. Is there any parents in the house or grandparents? Give me a wave. You know that when you're a parent or a grandparent, there are only certain things you will do if you are asked. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, there are, like, yes, you're always going to feed them, okay? If not, the social services are going to be knocking on your door, okay? You're always going to feed them, okay? You're always going to be putting them to bed because actually, you know, it's not only for their good, it is for your good. Hallelujah. You're always going to feed them. You're always going to put them to bed. You're always going to wash them, regardless of how hard that might be, and you're always going to brush their teeth. At least that's how we roll in our house. But there are some things that your little son or your little daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter or some of you, your big grandson or your big granddaughter, they are only going to get if they ask you. Why? You have condescended yourself to only work in action with their asking. And that's how it works with God. There are things that he will do and there are things that he will only do if we pray. So let me look at some of these things as we get into Jonah chapter 2. The first thing I'm going to say, if prayer is to be effectual, which is just a fancy way of saying effective, if prayer is to be effectual, then it needs to come from affliction. If prayer is to be effectual, it needs to come from affliction. Look at verse 2. It says, I cried out to the Lord. Why? Because of my affliction. I cried out to the Lord. Why? Because of my affliction. Let me explain what I mean. There is a certain type of prayer that you can only pray when you've experienced affliction. Like you go to a prayer meeting. Maybe it's just me. You go to a prayer meeting and, you know, they're praying for Aunt Agnes's ingrown toenail, okay? They're praying for, you know, Jerry. I'm trying to mention names which don't go to this church because he's got hemorrhoids again. And you're like, oh my word, that's like an overshare. That really is an overshare. You know, you're praying for the morning service. You're praying for the evening service. You know, you're praying for the world, you know, because you've got to do that. There's stuff that's on the news. You know, you're praying for what's happening in Turkey. There's an earthquake there. You're praying for the coronavirus over in China. You know, but when someone has lost their baby, when someone's family members are suffering from terminal illness, when someone has been offered redundancy and they've got a mortgage and they've got three kids, then something happens within the prayer room. Do you know what I'm talking about? Something happens within the prayer room and suddenly there is like tears and there's snot and there's pain and there's anguish and there are prayers that shake earth and they shake heaven. Like, so some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there. Like, you've been there. It's like, I remember when I served in the armed forces, I was mobilized and I was attached to a unit which was serving over in Iraq. And, you know, I was young at the time. I'm like, yeah, do you know what? Bulletproof, yeah, whatever. And I turned up, I rocked up. I was based at Basra Airport, okay? We were in the airport. There wasn't anything flying except for military airplanes, okay? It was a dive. And so I rock up, it's really, really hot, but I'm still, you know, and everybody's giving it, you know, Billy Big Cheese, you know, we're all cool and we're all good. And you know what happened on my first night there? We got mortared. Now, some of you don't know what a mortar is. A mortar is basically a plate, and then it's got kind of like a pipe on it, and it fires this high explosive. And I remember the first time I set foot in Iraq and we got mortared. I'm going to tell you right now, it did wonders for my prayer life. Seriously, I was praying in tongues, yeah? I was repenting of sins that I did 20 years ago. It did wonders for my prayer life. Why? Effectual prayer comes from a place of anguish, okay? A place of affliction. So you might say, but look, everything is going well within my life. Then how can my prayer be effectual? Can I tell you a couple of things? One is, what are you doing? The just are supposed to live by faith. There are supposed to be moments in your life where you are really scared. And if God doesn't show up, everything's going to go Pete Tong, okay? That's how we're supposed to live. Like, we get comfortable, we get complacent, you know, we make sure that everything's covered, everything's okay, and we think that that's what it is to be in the Christian life. No, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. you sometimes need to do stuff that really, really scares you, that you're not equipped for, that you're not prepared for, stuff that freaks you out. And I tell you what, not only will it crucify your old nature, not only will it produce character, but it will do wonders for your prayer life. That's why God sometimes calls people on mission, right? That's why sometimes God calls people to set up ministries. That's why God sometimes calls people to set up businesses. That's why sometimes God gets you to take people under your wing and you're like, I don't know what to do with that person. I've never had those issues before. What am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go to your knees in prayer, right? Not all of us are going to be like Jonah. Jonah suffered affliction because of his disobedience. If you are suffering affliction because of your disobedience, I tell you right now, by the power vested in me, hey, stop it, okay? But some of us, it's not the affliction because of our own disobedience. It's the affliction that we need to embrace upon ourselves as we go upon this journey of faith. It's supposed to be an epic saga. It's supposed to be this great journey. And what we have turned it into is kind of like a Sunday night at 6:30 and a Wednesday at 7:30. And I'm not taking anything away, but please don't think that is the Christian life at all. Not even slightly. If you are not exercising faith, then actually what you need to be doing is saying, God, where are the opportunities? Where are the places where you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? What you also need to be doing is you just need to open your eyes and open your ears. Abby and I, we live, some of you have been to where we live on a big, big hill, a hill far away. Like, it's so steep, I'm not joking. It doesn't matter what you drive, you're going to have to put it in first gear, all right? Okay? And like, it's so high, which is pretty good during the times when it floods, right? You probably need an oxygen mask. And in our house, our kitchen kind of overlooks a bunch of terrace housing. And I'm someone who likes to mind my own business, okay? But sometimes you just can't help but look into other people's gardens. Can I get a witness, right? Just can't help it. So we kind of look out, and there's this house. And I'm trying not to be judgmentative, but it might come across that I am. And there is broken down bits of furniture and a couch in their garden, right? Some of you, it's not phasing you. Okay, for me, it phases me. And they come out in the afternoon in their dressing gown smoking, okay? And you're like, so what? So what? So recently, there's a little kid, and he comes back from school, and he's knocking on the door for half an hour or an hour, and nobody answers, and eventually they let him in. I don't know if the issue is drink. I don't know if it's drugs. I don't know if we should phone the police or phone the social services. I said, Abby, I'm going to go and knock on that door. And Abby says, don't you dare. Don't you dare. I don't know what it is, but I want to tell you something. Regardless of what it is, it makes me pray. Because I know that in this city tonight, there are kids who live in the homes of addicts. There are kids who are being abused. There are kids who are going to sleep with no food. And that's just half of it. Not to mention what else is going on. Honestly, some of us walk around with our eyes closed and our ears stopped up. Can I give you a biblical story which might fit your situation? Okay? The Good Samaritan. What did the Levite do? What did the priest do? He went to the other side of the road. What did Jonah do? He went in the opposite direction. You know why that was such a sin? We are the only people on earth which exist for our non-members. Right? What happened? God called Abraham. He says, I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing, and you shall bring blessing to all families of the earth. We are not about ourselves. It's not just about me and my wife and my kids and my little group. It's not just about my little life group and my little ministry team and my little church and my little denomination. Only when it is on earth as it is in heaven are we going to hang up on our boots and say, the job is done. Guys, some of us have become quite hard-hearted, and I know what it's like. I know, I think it was Bono who said that this is compassion. Oh, sorry, Geldof. He said it's compassion fatigue. It's compassion fatigue because our media is flooded with it. Even though you might have compassion fatigue, I'm going to say, open your eyes, open your ears. You don't know as to the suffering that exists all around you. Right? Effectual prayer is prayer that comes from a place of affliction. It's like the woman who smashes the alabaster jar. Only when the alabaster jar is smashed will the perfume be released. Here's the second thing about effectual prayer. Effectual prayer, it requires action. Effectual prayer requires action. Here's what Jonah says in verse 9. He says, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. He says, I'm going to get my praise on, right? So he's in the whale and he's like, why should I feel discouraged? Right, anyway, I won't go there. Right, so he's with the voice of thanksgiving. Why do the sparrow? Anyway, right. I love that song. Anyway, I will pay. I will pay what I have vowed. What's Jonah reminding us? That faith and action are not separate from one another. They are joined with one another. Let me tell you the reason why God gets you to pray. It's not only to work on his heart, it's to work on your own. Right? Some of us think that because we're praying that we shouldn't act. I'm going to tell you, that's a fool's understanding. Abraham, he prayed, him and his wife, they were infertile, that they would have a baby. Let me tell you, they prayed, but they also did something about it. Moses prayed that the people of Israel might be set free. You know what? He also had to do something about it. Esther had the people fast and pray that they might be released. You know what she had to do? She also had to do something about it. Jonah not only prays, he does something about it. Prayer and action go together. We should not separate prayer from action. Okay? Like, there's nothing wrong. If you're sick, the Bible says, go to the elders of a church. They will anoint you with oil and they will pray for you. Can I tell you what you can also do? Go to a blinking doctor and do what he tells you to do as well. Right? Yeah? Yeah? The Bible says that we need to be praying that it might be on earth as it is in heaven. We need to also be getting out and doing something about it. The Bible says that salvation belongs to our God and the Lamb who sits upon the throne. Let me just tell you, you also need to go and do something about it. The people sometimes and they say that, oh look, I'm praying for my son or I'm praying for my daughter, and I'm like, that's really good. You need to pray for your son and you need to pray for your daughter because the battle is won upon our knees. It is a spiritual battle we find ourselves in. We do not war against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. But I want to tell you something. Your son and daughter also needs to see that your life has been recklessly rocked by the gospel, and you might need to tell them about it too. I met with a bunch of Cape and Ray students, and some of them are here tonight. Not the ones I met with, but I'm just saying, welcome. And it was interesting that I met with the Cape and Ray students a little time ago, and most of them grew up in Christian homes, okay? Most of them, if not all but one. And here's the interesting thing. Although they grew up in Christian homes, those homes weren't very Christian. They would say, yeah, mum and dad went to church, but they was no way of really knowing the difference between the way they lived and the way anybody else lived. Yeah, they went to church, but they never really talked about Jesus. Like, they never prayed, and we never, like, studied the Bible together, and it's not like we actually, like, as a family, it was kind of like their dirty little secret. It wasn't something that we owned within our home. That just wasn't it. I'm going to say, look, your kids need to overhear you praying with tears. They need to catch you sometimes blessing someone, you know, anonymously. They just need to do it, you know. They need to find you sometimes with tears in your eyes and your arms in the air. Maybe not in church. Maybe that's not your thing. Maybe when you're in your kitchen giving thanks for the goodness of God. Why? Prayer and action go together. I want to tell you something. Some of us, it's not that we haven't prayed enough. It's because we haven't acted enough. God puts prayer and action together. There's a guy in the Bible, again, I've been talking about him earlier, but his name's Moses. And here's the interesting thing about Moses. Moses, at one point, he takes the people and he brings them to the edge of the Red Sea. And the people begin to grumble and complain. They're like, oh, blinking heck, Moses. Oh, you've taken us into the wilderness. You're going to kill us all in the wilderness, which is pretty pathetic. But I want to tell you, there are some things worse than death. Slavery is worse than death. So what? So what? But anyway, different sermon, different time. There they are at the edge of a sea, and they're like, come on, Moses, do something. So Moses says, hey, yo, come and watch the deliverance of the Lord. And then Moses prays to God. He says, God, do something. And God says to him, Moses, why are you talking to me? Just lift up your staff. Why? He was telling Moses, thereby telling us, prayer and action go together. This super spiritual nonsense that when you do something, it shows a lack of your faith is absolute unbiblical rubbish. Absolute unbiblical rubbish. A story that you may have heard, and it's very famous. There were two people who prayed for rain. One brought an umbrella. Which one do you think had faith? Prayer and action, they go together. That is what Jonah is teaching us. Effectual prayer always is accompanied by action. Here's the third thing we see within this text. Effectual prayers are answered. And some of you are like, I've got you there. I've got you there, Steve. What do you mean effectual prayers are answered? What about the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed, let this cup pass from me. He prayed three times and the cup wouldn't pass. What about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh. I read the book of Galatians. I think the thorn of the flesh was his eyes. I read the commentaries. What happened to the Apostle Paul? What are you talking about, Steve? Effectual prayer is answered. Paul's prayer wasn't answered. Jesus' prayer wasn't answered. Hey, let me tell you, Paul's prayer was answered. Jesus' prayer was answered. You know what the answer was? No. Sometimes God will say no. And you know what you have to do? You have to learn to live with it. What makes a prayer sanctified is not my will be done, but your will. Not my will be done, your will. Hey, look, if you haven't realized it yet, God's not going to answer every one of your prayers. You know why? Because God knows what's best for you, and he knows what's best for his glory. Do you give your kids everything they want? I don't. My kid would probably have diabetes if I gave him everything he wanted. Okay? Or in jail, and he's only 4. So they're laughing because they know him. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes, you know what God says? He doesn't say no. He says, wait. What do you mean, wait? Sometimes God says, wait. The children of Israel, you know how long they cried out to God? 400 years. You're like, what? 400 years. Now, some of you were in the morning service and were sharing a little bit about my story and talking a little bit about my background. I remember my mum saying to me, she said, like, we grew up poor and it was a tough life and all that jazz, but she was like, a day will come and it might be your children or your children's children or your children's 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 children, but one day, a day will come and we won't be doing this. She says, you've got to remember that when our people came here, she's talking about us Indians, when they came here, they went from Pakistan, there was a thing called partition, and all they had were the shirts on the backs and the things that they could carry. She said, when they came to England, like some of them, they couldn't even speak the language. She said, when some of our people were in Kenya, and in Kenya, they kicked all the Indian people out, called them Mzungu, they took all of their stuff. She said, they had nothing. She said, look at them now. Their children are doctors. Their children are lawyers. Their children are accountants. A day will come when things will be different. I tell you right now, sometimes God says, wait, you might not receive what you want to receive, but if you keep on persisting in prayer and you keep on persisting in prayer and you keep on persisting in prayer and you keep on persisting in prayer, one day, who knows, if it's in God's will, it will come to pass. That's why we pray, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Okay? Because we know that if it's his will, he's going to bring it to pass. He, you know what? God's always good for it. God's always, you know, he's always got the money in his pocket. Always got the money in his pocket. He just sometimes says, hey, you got to wait for it. But here's the reason why we get excited. Sometimes he might say no. Sometimes he might say wait. But you know what he says sometimes? He says yes. He says, the Lord spoke to the fish. Like, he just did it because he could, right? Like, he didn't have to. He could have given the fish gastroenteritis, okay? Could have done that. Could have given him the norovirus or something along those lines. But God, just because he could, you know, sometimes God just wants to flex. You know, sometimes he just wants to take his shirt off. You know, if you've ever been at Morecambe Beach, I wouldn't take my shirt off at Morecambe Beach because you'd probably get radiation from the water. But sometimes God just wants to take his shirt off and he just wants to flex and go, ha! Ha! And this is what he does here. He takes his shirt off and he flexes and he says, you know what? Your fish, bring up my boy Jonah. And then it says this, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Sometimes the reason why we pray is because God says yes. Let me tell you some stories about God saying yes. My auntie, she fell on the stairs. She banged her head, ended up in a coma. They said she was going to die. We began to fast. We began to pray. Everybody says no. God says yes, and she made a recovery. There was a woman in our church. Her name was Jean Gibbs. She had a degenerative a knee condition. She was my biggest opponent within the whole church. She was the woman who, when I moved rugs or when I moved vases, Jean Gibbs would go to me. But lo and behold, although the doctor said no, God said yes. When she got healed, she was my biggest fan. If anybody said anything about Stevie Wonder, that's what she used to call me. She can call me that. You can't. Okay? She would have went for them like a pit bull terrier. Okay? There's another woman in our congregation. Her name was Irene Roberts. Okay? She would never receive prayer within the church. She was an anti-charismatic. The Spirit of God had stopped moving, apparently, according to her. Then she went to Kingdom Faith. A guy was preaching. His name's Steve Uppel. He's the guy who did the dedication for my son, Timothy. He was a great friend. He was calling people out who had rheumatoid arthritis in the wrist. He prayed for her. The doctor says no. God says yes. She got miraculously healed. My mom, even though we didn't grow up within a Christian home, she cried out for us kids. She was like, save those kids, save those kids, save those kids, save those kids, change those kids. You know what? Everybody would have said no, but God says yes. The reason why we pray is sometimes he doesn't say no, sometimes he doesn't say wait, sometimes he says yes. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray. Come on, band, can I have you up? We're supposed to pray. Sometimes we pray quiet. Sometimes we pray loud. Sometimes we pray in English. Sometimes English won't do. Sometimes there is such a burden within the soul. Romans chapter 8 says we groan, you know. Acts chapter 2, we speak in tongues. Yeah? Some of you might be freaking about that. I'm a Pentecostal. I believe in that stuff. Sometimes we pray in English. Sometimes we pray in tongues. Sometimes we pray extemporaneously. You know what it means. I'll say it for the podcast. That means just winging it. Sometimes we pray set prayers. Sometimes we pray the Bible. Sometimes we pray with the hymn book. Sometimes we pray with song. Sometimes we don't pray with song. We keep praying. We keep praying. We keep believing. We keep believing. We keep believing. Why? Our God is a prayer answering God. So what are you praying for? What have you stopped praying for? Church, let me tell you what I'm praying for. That God would so visit this city and this church in reviving and renewing power, that every eye will see and every ear will hear the majesty of the glory of his name. Church, I don't think it's by mistake that we are looking at praying to God by some kind of sovereign mistake whilst we're moving towards a 24-hour prayer day, and whilst we're moving to our vision meeting in which we'd be fasting. I don't think that's a mistake. I tell you right now, I didn't plan it. You know why we're in the book of Jonah? Because Matt Parker wanted to preach, and I'm like, I'll help you, but we need to look at a book that is small. Right? That's what I said. Because we normally deal with the same topic and the same text, AM and PM. Why? Because actually, it means that I can cut down my study by however many hours. You don't need to know, but a lot. The only reason we did it is because of that. But God, in his sovereign plan, ripped off his shirt and he decided to flex and says, right, in preparation for the 24-hour prayer, in preparation for the fasting, and prayer and fasting go together, because Jonah wasn't in the belly of a whale ordering on Uber, okay? God has so decided in his providence for us to be talking about prayer as an encouragement, not just for us as a church, but for you. Keep praying, keep praying, keep believing, keep praying. Amen? Come and stand, and I'm going to pray for you, and we are going to sing. I don't know what we're going to sing, but we're going to rock this place. So, Father, we thank you that we have a direct phone line to heaven. not because of who we are, but because of the blood of your precious Son. We come before you this evening with our sin and our failure and our doubts and our inconsistency, asking that you would allow our hearts to burn. Lord, accept this song as an offering of prayer and allow our lives to deepen in this spiritual discipline for your glory's sake, we pray. And all God's people say, amen.